In Los Angeles, I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Rizdahl. Today, Greece has proposed more austerity in return for a third bailout. And to be sure, there are some positive noises coming out of Europe. The French president says Greece's new request for a third bailout is credible. The Dutch head of the Euro group described it as thorough. For more on what's happening in Greece, let's get to the weekly wrap. I'm joined today by David Gura, reporter at Bloomberg TV, and Neela Richardson, chief economist at Redfin. Hey there.
Hey, Molly.
Hi, Molly.
So there's a deal on the table that seems worse than the deal that could have been on the table 2 weeks ago. And I guess what I'm wondering, Neela, is did we really have to go through all of this?
Yes, because this isn't an economic problem that we're seeing in Greece and with the EU. It's really a political problem. If you compare it to Detroit, Detroit had a lot of similarities in terms of its fiscal problems to Greece. You know, it had pension problems. It couldn't pay its workers. There was a lot of massive overspending. But no one thought that we'd boot Detroit out of the U.S. But that is exactly what's happening with the EU. I think the problems we're seeing in Greece is more about the EU than it is about Greece itself.
So Greece had to go through this exercise to convince the EU that it was serious, or vice versa. But David, what do you think are the odds that they're going to kick this can down the road again on Sunday?
Well, I think that we're coming to what must be the final deadline here. That's what everybody that I've talked to has been saying. So on Sunday, 28 leaders from the European Union are going to gather and they're going to give this a yay or a nay. Just to touch on something that Neela was talking about there about the sort of politicization of this. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that Alexis Tsipras, the prime minister of Greece, did something very shrewd here. That is, he took his plan to the Greek people. They voted on it. What's sort of crazy about this is they voted no on essentially what he's put forward here from what we know of the proposal. So much of it is so similar. You know, there's some difference in terms of what the fiscal targets are going to be, what these taxes are going to be going forward. But what it managed to do is galvanize his party, it seems, a bit around him. We're very familiar here in the States with the fact that in the Democratic Party, in the Republican Party, these are stratified parties. There are people on the far left. There are people on the far right. Same thing holds true there in Greece. And it seems like by going through this, there seems to be a little bit more cohesion among that Syriza party.
Sure. But what could be shrewd about then totally overriding the will of the people after inciting them to this vote?
You know, I think that what he would say is that that wasn't a referendum on keeping the country in the European Union or not. And maybe just looking at sort of the gravity of that possibility is propelling him to do this.
Neela, let's turn to China. I think we have a little bit of a tale of two crises going on. And some people seem to think that China is actually a bigger deal than Greece. Can you help us understand why what's happening there matters?
It matters because China is a leading economic force within the world, and right now they're engaged in bubbles across asset markets. We're paying a lot of attention to their stock market now. It lost $3 trillion in value, which is the size of an advanced economy. That's how much that stock market loss was. But we've also seen bubbles in China in their credit markets, in their real estate markets. And so in terms of the economy as being a solid, substantive, sustainable growth force, there's been a lot of doubt both in the real economy and in the asset market about China's path going forward.
David, is this a wave that is headed our way? Is there a point at which it'll start to affect us in the U.S.?
I don't know. It's been curious as I've talked to people about this. A lot of people are making a real distinction between the Chinese economy and the Chinese market. And, you know, we've seen this push by the Chinese to buy a lot of stocks on margin. We saw just sort of crazy intervention here on the part of the Chinese government. I think that investors here in the U.S. are watching this with interest, with surprises. We saw this really crazy swing. I looked at the Shanghai Composite today. It closed up again 4.5% or so. That's something that's going to give investors pause. Is it going to affect us directly over here? I would argue, I think that the Greece is the thing that's attracting more attention at this point.
And then quickly, I want to turn to the OPM hack. Numbers came out yesterday. Absolutely astonishing. Some 21.5 million Social Security numbers and very personal records stolen. So today, Catherine Archuleta, the head of the OPM, is out. Not a big surprise. Neela, do you think there's anything she could have done to prevent this in her 2 years?
Not alone. You know, it's stunning. And as a former federal employee that received a letter to my home talking about I did.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing how this touches people. And it's also amazing that given the access the government has to personnel records and all kinds of data, the lack of IT support, the lack of technological infrastructure within the government itself. This is a problem that is systemic, not just in the office Office of Personnel Management, but pervasive across the government. Maybe not to this degree, but the federal government needs a 21st century solution to its IT issues.
Yeah, it sounds like it was unrealistic to expect that one person was going to be able to take that on. That's David Gura from Bloomberg TV and Neela Richardson from Redfin. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.